How would you describe passion? We see it in young lovers, right? The intensity of the emotion. Maybe even the constant of affection. The touching, the holding hands, the embracing, the kissing. But is that all? Is that as much as we could describe passion? Or are there other words? Words that go beyond the honeymoon stage of marriage or romance. Words like commitment, dedication, serving, unconditional love. When we come to this night, this highlight in one sense of the passion of our Lord, and we follow His journey, which we will do through the scripture readings, we hear about His dedication, His commitment, His unconditional love. We hear about His suffering. We hear about His death. You may have taken the time to put a nail in this night. It is very different to do that, isn't it? He was pierced for our transgressions, says the Bible. He was wounded. By His stripes we are healed. We are reminded that His crown was not gold. It was thorns. Is this our definition of passion? An empty cross with nails, a black shawl, reminding of death. Both Pastor Al and I have a crucifix. Most of the time, we don't wear the crucifix. We are reminded of Easter with a blank cross. He's no longer on the cross. He's no longer suffering. He's no longer dead. Even better. On Easter, you'll come and at some congregation, if not here, and someone up front will say, "He is risen." What do y'all say? Yeah. We celebrate that. This is a picture of His passion. It's different to think of Jesus on the cross in this place. It's easier for us to think of Jesus on the cross long time ago, for a people of long time ago. It's different. But if all we do is read the story and we go through the motions, then we miss the depth, the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you might have seen when it first came out, Mel Brooks' movie, right? Passion of Jesus Christ. And people left weeping and upset, and some people couldn't even stay for the whole movie. Why? Because it was too real. The dramatization, the acting, the camera, the technology brought it into our theater. And if you bought the disc, it was in your home. And it was no longer the story. It was no longer just history. It was your Lord, my Lord, suffering and dying on the cross. The depth of His passion was made so obvious, but yet some people missed it. Chief priests, other temple leaders. He said He would, build the temple in 3 days, and He can't even save Himself. What a joke. And they mocked him and ridiculed him. But he didn't jump off and kick him in the backside. He had the power. He had the authority. But he didn't do it. His passion is evident in that he stayed there. Arms stretched out. Nailed. Not that the nails had the power and the strength to hold him. For the Son of God, it was greater than that. Even death couldn't hold him. What do you think those nails rated? Not much. But he chose to stay. His passion was exposed and evident to a fellow by the name of Barabbas. Remember Barabbas in the narrative? Pilate gave the crowd the option. Free Jesus of Nazareth, you know, or free Barabbas. Can you imagine how that might have impacted Barabbas? Barabbas was a troublemaker. You know people like that. They're still around. Their name isn't Barabbas anymore, but, you know, they're troublemakers. They're instigators. They're people who insist on taking action, but they have no thought about the consequences of those actions, because that's what Barabbas did. Barabbas had committed murder. The nice word was called insurrection. You know, basically he caused a riot. He was a man of action. And when you think about it, free Barabbas or free Jesus, Barabbas' view of Jesus might have been, he's milquetoast. His program's going nowhere. He talks about forgiveness. What a wimp. But then something happened. Barabbas was set free, and Jesus remained. And Barabbas had to face in his life that he was guilty, that somebody else was going to die in his place. There was the thief on the cross. There were two, actually. The one confesses his guilt. The scriptures tells us in the narrative, you know, he's up there too, and he was facing the loneliness of death on the cross, desertion, the humiliation, and excruciating pain. He was facing that just like his buddy, just like the man between them. But he too came to the realization that they were right to put him up there. He was a thief. That was the penalty. But the one next to us, he's innocent. For all of his lifestyle, for all of his lost condition, he recognized that this one was different. And in the message of the gospel, he asked, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And this man who was lost, this man who was hopeless by his own crucifixion, was told yes. The words of the scriptures, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He was told yes. And his lost condition was no more. And now he had a home, an eternal home. And everything changed for him, even though he was dying. There was a guy who witnessed all of this. He wasn't the convict on the other cross. He wasn't part of the temple. He was a centurion. He witnessed what the chief leaders, the temple leaders, these holy men were saying and doing. He witnessed what the thief on the cross said next to him. He witnessed and heard the words of Jesus, you know, the seven words from the cross, right? He heard all of this. But he too missed the point about the passion. His conclusion was a declarative sentence. Surely this man was the Son of God. In other words, it's over. His suffering and death made it over. as true as the sentence had been fulfilled and God's judgment had been satisfied, that was over. The passion, the depth of the commitment, the determination, the faithfulness, the consistency, and all of what Christ brought and showed humanity was still remaining as he is laid in a tomb this night. So that the Sabbath may be observed. And then we know the Easter narrative. On that first day of the week, before the sun had risen, some women were going to the tomb. And they were passionate about dedication and service to Christ. And they were passionate about what they brought with them. You know, the herbs and the anointing and the finishing, the proper way to honor someone in their burial. But they too missed what his passion was about. You see, his passion was about saving us, dying for us, rising for us so that we might have life. To simply go through the narrative, it's so easy to shelter our heart from the sounds of the whip, from the pounding of the nails, from the mockery of the temple leaders, from the pleading, from the begging, from the weeping women off in a distance, from the disciples that were hiding. It is so easy for us just to think it is historical. And it is over. But his passion has not stopped. And that's part of why we come every Good Friday. Not only to go back into history, to take a look at the passion, but to know and lift up and to celebrate that that passion that took him on Calvary is the same passion he has now, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. It is the same passion that he has for us, that he desires none to be lost. It is the same passion in which he reaches out through the gospel, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through his witnesses, that all might know God's plan of salvation, of God's redeeming love in Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Yes, this is the passion of Jesus, his suffering and death. But it's a celebration of his passion that is alive and well for you, for us all. In Christ, thanks be to God. Amen.